ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I think this is a very attractive situation. Based on my phone ringing today, a lot of other people think it is too.
That was Rafael Stone talking to the media yesterday. Says he thinks it's a really attractive job. Houston Rockets job, really attractive, according to Rafael Stone's cell phone that was ringing off the hook yesterday, apparently. Rafael Stone has an interesting approach on press conferences. Did you watch much of that? He got asked one question about, like, how can you make the new head coach's job easier based on what you want to do? And he kind of paused for a moment and goes, I don't know. Like, and then he gave this long-winded answer that really had nothing to do with the question. I didn't love that. I probably defend Rafael Stone more than most people on our radio show.
I think he should also just, you know, name names.
About what?
Don't be a coward. If you're going to get asked a question about the reports about how dysfunctional and awful your franchise is.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're going to sit there and say that the media is awful at their job. Mm-hmm. Name names.
They were lazy. They were lazy about it.
Name names. All right, Brian Windhorst?
Yeah.
Joel Blank? Joe George?
I was wondering that, if he saw that.
Like name names. Like, if you're going to say that, like, just call him out. Like, don't be a coward, Rafael. You're doing no better than they are. You're being lazy.
That'd be kind of cool if he said names.
It would have been awesome. That's really why.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, oh my gosh. Do you imagine, like, you need Greg Popovich up there to do that?
Oh, yeah. Like, well, I mean,
he'll just rant about something else.
They also don't want to give credibility to, like, the media guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So not saying names, I think, sometimes is calculated because they don't want to give them rub. You know what I mean? They don't want to give that guy a little bit of rub.
But I do think, like, the idea that, you know, that was the one thing that stood out, that before he went on his diatribe about the media, he went on this thing about, basically, he called John Wall a liar. Like, you can put words, like, a name into his mouth, because he's talking about how the players love it here. The players get along and everything's
Okay.
And, like, it really, to me, it felt like he was going at Eric Gordon, John Wall, these guys who have made negative comments about the Rockets organization, their culture, what they're building. It felt like he's trying to say that that's not true, when in reality, we know it probably is.
I disagree with that a little bit, because he made it very clear to talk about this season. So, like, when he was talking about this season, and Stone made it very clear to talk about this season, like, he said the players are going to have the players' response and whatever, basically, but he said this season.
Sure.
So, like, this season didn't include John Wall, but it did include Eric Gordon. So, like, who knows?
I mean, the one thing, too, with the media thing that was interesting is he basically acknowledged how much, like, Bill Simmons hates the Rockets without saying Bill Simmons' name.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, how much...
I didn't put that together, but you're right.
How much these people hate the Rockets because of the way Daryl Morey and the Rockets did business before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he said, we get lumped into that, and it's like unfair.
Doesn't Simmons love Morey, though? So is this more of a situation where he's not Daryl Morey?
Bill Simmons is a flip-flopper.
I think that's kind of what Stone meant, though, is like, you know, the previous regime did things their way, and now because, like, now that we don't do it that way,
people don't like us.
We get grief about it because they're not
having luncheons with media members so that they can try to get them to write biased stories and things like that. They're not doing those things.
So, I mean, I think Stone at a press conference setting is kind of odd. I think the way he handles questions is unique. I really don't care how a person handles a press conference, quite frankly. I care about...
You don't want to grade the press conference?
No. I don't want to be a critic of the podium.
Oh.
No, I'm not interested in doing that because it literally does not matter.
Well, the Eagles proved that this year.
Yeah, exactly.
If anything ever.
I'm a huge actions words guy. Like, I don't care about words. I don't. I don't care what Nick Caserio is feeding in a microphone. Like, you can tell, like, a level of intelligence, but, you know, he could be BSing you. I mean, look at Jack Easterby. Jack Easterby was impressive behind a microphone. Like, people, like, and that's why he got hired everywhere, is because he was good behind a microphone.
Well, because, like, I don't think Rafael Stone's lying that people were calling him about this job.
No, I don't either.
Because it is an attractive job.
Because,
like David Culley said, it's only one, well, it's for him, for David Culley, it's one of 32, but... For the Rockets job, it's one of 30.
Yeah.
And what is it right now? It's one of 3?
Openings? Yeah, that sounds right.
See, but the Pistons job is open. The Rockets job is open. That might be it.
currently. There's probably going to be more, maybe Toronto. I look at a GM position based on the roster. Like, is the roster good? Is the coach that you've empowered to lead that roster good?
Sure.
I think the Rafael Stone, based on James Harden demanding a trade, Russell Westbrook wanting to leave, the situation that they were in, I think Rafael Stone has done a pretty good job of putting a young nucleus together. If I'm going to grade a GM based on the roster he's built, I look at a nucleus that has a shot. They have a chance to be a competitive team in the NBA when they start to mature and they start to develop. I don't think that they've had a serious coach to this point. Is that a knock on Rafael Stone? Certainly could be a knock on Rafael Stone, but he's also trying to fix it now. I agree with you. I think that this is an attractive job to candidates. And some of the leaders that we see in terms of the Vegas odds, whether it's Nick Nurse, whether it's Ime Udoka, if those guys are like legitimate candidates and legitimate contenders, then yeah, this is an attractive job to a bunch of... You have a news update here?
Yeah, ESPN sources. Houston has received permission to interview Golden State Associate Head Coach Kenny Atkinson.
Oh, that's a curveball. I thought you were going to say... Nick Nurse, but that wouldn't make sense because they're playing in a play.
Yeah, they need to lose first.
I think it's good. Did you see the odds this morning? Nurse is like a heavy favorite.
Yeah. I mean, Nick Nurse comes from the organization. There was belief that he was kind of the next guy in line after Mike D'Antoni, but Mike was having success and continued. Nick Nurse took an opportunity elsewhere. And even think back to when Nick Nurse got hired, wasn't he kind of like, he was kind of like Quinn Snyder. Wasn't he a hire mid-season? The Raptors fired their coach and they brought Nick Nurse in the middle of this. No, that's the Timberwolves I'm thinking of. Wrong former Rockets head coaches.
Yeah.
Like, so Nick Nurse, yeah, it makes sense he's the betting favorite. He was here with Rafael Stone. He knows the organization. He's had success in the NBA. He's developed young talent. It probably makes the most sense, honestly. Of any of the potential hires, Nick Nurse, I would say, logically, philosophically, everything makes the most sense for this organization.
I think if Nick Nurse is interested, I think if Ime Udoka is interested, I think if Kenny Atkinson is interested, that this is a good job. I think that that's what it tells you. So if any of those guys are interested, it's a good job. Is it really a toxic culture then? If like one of those guys wants to be your head coach, they could probably get job offers at some point.
Sure.
Like Udoka's not coaching right now. I imagine in like 2 to 3 years, if he doesn't take the Rockets job, he has a head coaching position. Same thing with Kenny Atkinson. Kenny Atkinson doesn't have to hitch his wagon to the Rockets. Nick Nurse doesn't have to hitch his wagon to the Rockets. If those guys are leaving and going, like hitching their wagon to you, then that tells you, one, it's an attractive job, and they don't believe that like the toxic culture that we believe is existing. Either it's not true, or it's fixable.
Well, yeah, I think it's fixable. Like where does the issue start? What are they? And that's up to the person being interviewed to do their homework.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, is KPJ a problem? If the answer is yes, then how do you move forward as a franchise without him? If there really is an issue with Jabari Smith Jr. and being coach hard, is that something that you can move forward from? And I think the answer to that is yes. I think in reality, what's happening with the Rockets, and not necessarily like the fact that they have a bad culture. I think everyone has bad cultures that are going to rebuild like the Rockets, because you know, the one thing Joel always talks about is how these kids, the way they're nurtured and coddled in AAU, but they're all like that. Like, name me one 18, 19, 20-year-old kid in the NBA right now that's having success that doesn't have a franchise player next to him.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can't say Evan Mobley would not have been like that here. You can't prove that because Evan Mobley is in the playoffs and playing with Donovan Mitchell. You don't know about Cade Cunningham because no one cares about the Detroit Pistons in this city.
Right.
Like, Cade Cunningham could be the same problem. I mean, all these guys, like, They're 19-year-old kids.
I think
they've
it's
never
more.
Been challenged in their life by anyone.
Yeah.
And it takes time to overcome that as a person. When half your locker room can't legally buy a beer, like, you're not going to develop a culture and be a grown-up overnight.
Right.
And that's what this new coach has to do.
I think like what we've seen from the Rockets over the last few years is kind of a microcosm of the NBA. Because like the Rockets' culture is toxic. Is the Warriors' culture not toxic? Draymond Green punched Jordan Poole in the face in a preseason practice. Are the Minnesota Timberwolves not toxic?
Definitely.
You had Rudy Gobert, after being called a you-know-what, that punched his teammate. You had Jaden McDaniels, who was mad about something, that punched a wall and broke his hand. So, like, I do think what the Rockets are going through is a microcosm of the league. I agree with your point. And I would also say this, like, – a lot of times whenever a culture is not a winning culture, we automatically qualify that as a toxic culture.
Yes.
Because I don't think that the Rockets culture is ready to win, in large part because it's very, very young. They do need some veterans in there. They need a coach in there that knows what he's doing to make it a winning culture. And I do think that that's fixable. I think an Udoka. I think an Atkinson.
Well, just a fresh voice.
Sure. And that's what Rafael Stone was saying yesterday. And I completely agree. Like, we need a fresh voice. So, like, Stone needs to hit this higher. But I love the names associated with this hire. Stone saying that we need a fresh voice to be the powerful voice of our organization. That's great. That's exactly what I've been calling for the last few months. You know, Joel was more get rid of both of them. Get rid of the head coach. Get rid of Stone. Stone is toxic. He's interrupting practices, which we've seen is true. That was 2 years ago. It's not current. It's not the right now for the Rockets. I think you bring in any of these guys, they are the voice in the room. They're the grown-up in the room. I think that they could fix this non-winning culture. I don't get the impression that Rafael Stone really wants to be interfering in practices and being interfering in scouting, like reviews and film and all of that stuff. I believe that he wants a really good coach that's going to do all of that for him. Plus, he probably needs it to save his job for like the next few years.
100%.
I think that the Rockets are going in the right direction.
And I'll tell you this. The one thing with these teams and these leagues, and we talk about bad culture, and it is a theme of this city, whether you like it or not. The Rockets have a bad culture, the Texans have a bad culture, and the Astros had a cheating culture. But the Astros won, so it doesn't really matter. But all you got to do is get like one or two things right, and it fixes all your problems. They've never won the lottery. But if you start next season with Nick Nurse, Wembanyama, and a veteran player, your culture issues are going to be magically fixed because you're going to be competitive. You're going to be all in. Like, your team is going to be building in a direction in which you can compete for a play-in game next year.
Yeah.
So, like, it just fixes your problems. Same thing with the Texans. If you have a competent coach, then anything that Nick Caserio does wrong, he fixes it. Like, we've had this thing on the rundown, I think we're going to do later this week, about Shad Khan claiming that the Jaguars have a great GM, head coach, and quarterback. You don't, man. You don't have a great GM. Because if Byron Leftwich is going into an interview saying, get rid of Trent Baalke, then, like, you don't have a good GM, but you have the right coach and you have the right quarterback, so it makes Trent Baalke look good at his job. Rafael Stone may never be a good GM, but if he gets Wembanyama and wins the lottery, and Nick Nurse is a great coach, all of a sudden, Rafael Stone's going to be a great GM.
Yeah, I think that the Rockets get one of those guys. I'm good with where the Rockets are. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. So DeMeco Ryans met with the media earlier today. I learned two things from DeMeco. There's one player that's currently on this roster that I think is a huge wild card for the direction of this franchise. I also learned one thing about the Houston Texans' draft plans. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Third Coast Charlie, which I don't think is Charles Carter, who's producing and running the board today most of the week as Joe George fills in for Blankers. We're going to talk about the clues that I've connected the dots on a little bit later about the Houston Texans drafting defense at two becoming a real possibility. Reading the tea leaves, I think I've collected some evidence to give you at least some doubt, perhaps, about the Texans drafting quarterback at number two. And Third Coast Charlie, I don't think this is you, Charles Carter, unless you have a Twitter burner, which is pretty common on our Twitch, I hear. Twitch.tv/ESPN975.
Sup?
So I said, are you cool if the Texans go defense to that route? My Twitter questions of the day. He goes, you want to be reporters, don't know S word. Wait until draft day, and that's when you'll know the answer to that question. Exclamation point emoji.
I'm so upset.
I responded
like my old
to him.
College professor.
Was it? I responded to him and go, yeah, I'm not a reporter.
Yeah.
I don't report on anything. I don't report on anything.
People get so upset about, like, even the floating the idea that the Texans might not take a quarterback with the second pick. I'm sorry. Like, it's a reality.
Yeah. I've learned that people are like half, I wouldn't say half, maybe 35-40% of folks, at least that follow me or respond to me, are okay with the idea of defense BPA. But they're like, if it's quarterback, it's quarterback, whatever. They're kind of more whatever about it. but it's the 60% that want quarterback that are hell-bent on only quarterback that are the most, like, they have the most vocal vitriol. Like, if, sure. Oh, no quarterback, you've lost your mind, blah, 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 blah. You got to have hope for any other option. Like, Cody's on this big kick right now. If the Texans don't go quarterback at number two, you don't have a plan for quarterback. All you're hoping, you have hope, right? Like, you don't have a plan. You're requiring hope. To which I responded to him today. I'm like, you have to have hope for every avenue of life. Drafting a quarterback at number two, if it's Bryce Young, you have to have hope that one of the smallest quarterbacks in NFL history, it would instantly be the smallest quarterback in the NFL today, will work. If you draft C.J. Stroud at number two, you have to have hope that a quarterback who had a cushy life as a college quarterback with first-round receiver after first-round receiver after first-round receiver after first-round receiver, first-round offensive lineman, first-round offensive lineman, one of the best offensive minds in football, will work and translate to the NFL. Like, there is hope for every single draft pick that you make. So, like, the whole idea, oh, there's no plan, you have to have, you're requiring hope. And if you have hope, there's no plan. You're hoping when you make any pick in the draft, like, you want to be confident about it, but you can also have the confidence of, okay, I can trade up to number seven to get a dude that I really love that might not be a popular player, but a dude that I really love, and I've been able to, like, take a lay of the land that I know I can trade up to number seven if I want to.
But everything on all the draft is hope.
Exactly.
Like, there's not a single piece of it that's not. Because you can pick these guys apart in every single which way possible. I watched some guy on Twitter yesterday nitpick and pick and choose Will Anderson plays against, like, Tennessee and UT. Yeah. Where, like, he got worked, right? Like, when you watch him play, you go, this guy is too small to have success. They're literally showing one of them on television right now.
You're talking about Bryce.
No.
Will Anderson too little?
They're like, he's not big enough to be the NFL size left tackle, because he's not the biggest guy.
But Bryce Young's big enough?
Yeah, and those are the same people. It's hilarious. You can pick apart. It's almost like using, like, Pro Football Focus as a tool. You can make every single player in the NFL look like they're competent and good, and you make everyone look awful at the same time. Same thing with the NFL draft. The only time that I get annoyed when people talk about not taking a quarterback at two is when they say, wait till next year. Because that, to me, is a joke. Because that's just not reality, okay? The Texans have a better coach. They have a better coach on offense, better coach on defense. They've added talent. These guys are going to get better. The Texans are going to somehow... Guys, they couldn't even get the first pick this year. And they were clearly the worst team in the NFL. Like, clearly. They sucked the whole season, and they couldn't get the first pick. Yeah. You think they're going to get it next year? I think there's this is a very hot take, okay?
All right.
I think there's a better chance they take Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud and still end up with the first pick this year than putting Case Keenum out there. Because, like, honestly, like, Case Keenum is going to not make mistakes. They're going to play safe football. They're going to play defensive games. Like, you're not going to have wild ups and downs. Like, it's just the chance you're going to have the number one pick last year seems almost impossible to me.
I think that Davis Mills would start over Case Keenum.
I like when they don't bleed, and that's what he makes them do on Sundays. It's an unenjoyable experience. I don't like, no offense to Davis Mills. I'm sure you're a nice person. I think his mom still follows me on Twitter.
Really?
But yeah, happened when he got drafted.
Davis Mills' mom is your famous Twitter follow?
I'm sure I have other ones.
Ryan Presley's wife follows me.
She's great.
Yeah. I don't know if that was necessary.
I like the effort, though.
Yeah, she says that Ryan's fine, that he's okay.
To me, like, when you look at this team, like, that's the only time I get upset is when people say, just wait for next year. It's just not reality.
I've kicked around the idea, because who was that dude that was the quarterback coach, Pat something, like, former baseball player, and now is like a quarterback guru. Adam Schefter talked about him, and that dude was saying that Caleb Williams is the next Pat Mahomes. Sure. I kicked around the hypothetical that if Nick Caserio knows that Caleb Williams is the next Pat Mahomes, then you need to be doing everything possible to try to secure Caleb Williams, which means whatever it takes, trading down, acquiring more draft capital, losing a lot of football games next year. Like, if you already know, and we have no way of knowing this, so it kind of makes this conversation a moot conversation, but if you know, and Nick Caserio is willing to bet his life that Caleb Williams is the next Pat Mahomes, he's going to be like this MVP, can't-miss quarterback, winning a couple of Super Bowls, winning a couple of MVPs, we're going to be having the conversation that he's an all-time great. If Nick Caserio knew that right now, then the Texans should be doing everything possible to try to putting themselves in a position to get Caleb Williams next year.
But then they shouldn't have fired Lovie Smith.
No, I think they've already made that decision.
No, I know, but like, do everything possible. Well, then firing Lovie Smith was the wrong decision,
right?
Like, if that was your goal, and just to me, it's just too illogical. I really do think they were clearly the worst team in the NFL this year, and the Bears beat them, and they won one too many games. Because they play in a garbage division. You're starting to look at mock drafts now, and it's getting very common that the Tennessee Titans trade up to number three, and quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4, and three of the four are going to be in the AFC South next year. You're going to be in a bad division next season. Like, you're going to play the Indianapolis Colts, who might be okay if Jonathan Taylor is good, but like, are they going to run out Gardner Minshew in the meantime, while they wait for Will Levis or Anthony Richardson? Like, what are the Tennessee Titans going
to
do?
Yeah, you don't have to wait for Levis.
Like, it's just, to me,
they have Tannehill.
There's no way to guarantee the number one pick. The Texans messed it up. The Jets messed it up for Trevor Lawrence. And while I think I like Drake May more than I like these quarterbacks as well, and you'd be the second option, you can't even guarantee that. Because if Justin Fields is terrible, the Bears are going to have a top three pick again next year, most likely anyways.
Yeah.
So it's just, you can't. The Packers are going to have, could be one of the worst five teams in the NFL next year. Los Angeles Rams could be one of the worst teams in the NFL next year. Like,
NBA teams do it just for a chance, though.
Yeah, they do it for a lottery.
They do it for just a chance. Like, there was a lot of teams this year that probably didn't put their best foot forward knowing that there was a shot that they could go to the lottery and win Victor Wembanyama.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's not that far removed. It's not a crazy thought that a team in the back of their minds is like, you know what? If it depends on your assessment of that quarterback class, because the GMs need to be thinking ahead. So, like, if you don't think Caleb Williams is much, then you're not thinking that way. If you don't think Drake May is much, you're certainly not thinking that way. It would require a general manager looking at one of those two quarterback prospects and be like, he is the chosen one. He's going to be unbelievable. He is the next generational talent. And if you're convinced of that, I think as a general manager, you should be making the moves necessary to try to bring that player in.
Sure. So that starts with taking Will Anderson at two then.
I don't think the Texans are there because they fired Lovie Smith. The Texans are ready to win. The Texans are trying to make moves right now. So the Texans aren't in that spot.
Yeah, they're not going to win next year, but they're on the path to winning football games.
Yeah.
And it starts this upcoming
season. And I'm okay with that. D'Amico Ryans met with the media today. The wild card that is already on this roster. And also, I think D'Amico kind of tipped his hand a little bit on draft plans for the Texans. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned into the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. NFL Draft coming up April 27th, just a little over 2 weeks away. 2 weeks from Thursday, the Houston Texans will be drafting with the second overall pick. Will they be drafting at the number two overall pick? I think that's an interesting question. I posted the question earlier today on Twitter. A little bit later on in the show, in the 2 o'clock hour, I'm going to give you some clues of how the Texans are going defense at two. I think we've seen multiple things, either reported through the media or even actions that the Houston Texans have made, that the Houston Texans will be looking to go defense at number two. We'll do that a little bit later in the program. But I also asked, would you be okay if the Houston Texans go defense at number two in this year's NFL draft? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Also have a wild card for you that is currently on this roster for the Houston Texans that I think can be a huge organization mover for the Houston Texans. We'll get into that a little bit. But first things first, I think D'Amico Ryans kind of tipped his hand, cut 20 with D'Amico Ryans. I think D'Amico has already tipped his hand about one specific thing. He was very coy. He was very vague with the media. They were trying to, like, pigeonhole him into which of the quarterbacks do you like? What do you view in rookie quarterbacks? Blah, 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 blah. Like, they were trying to kind of almost trick him into saying, yeah, we want quarterback at number two. Cut 20, Charles. D'Amico Ryans about not trading. Like, he's not answering this question about trading up.
Yeah, we won't. Again, I won't get into draft strategy and trades and all of those things.
So there you go. D'Amico Ryans talking about that he's not going to get into draft strategies, all of those things.
Love the strategy.
Right.
Say no and then stop answering.
He said one thing, though, during this press conference where it sounded to me like he I can't remember the exact quote, but they asked him basically, blah, 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 your draft plans, blah, 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 blah. And he was like, we're going to be prepared to pick at number two. And whenever he said that, my thought immediately was the Texans aren't trading up to number one. The Texans are not going to trade up to number one. And they've already told you once that they're not willing to trade up to number one. When did they tell you they're not willing to trade up to number one? Whenever Carolina traded up to number one. When Carolina traded to number one, there was a lot of like reports and Ryan Poles, I think, even went like on the radio or gave a quote or something saying that we were talking with the Texans about trading down to number two. We felt that Caserio kind of got uncomfortable. So we went ahead and made the deal with Carolina, and Poles even mentioned that they were going to trade down from one to two and then two down to nine.
Yeah.
They were going to make two trades. So I believe that. I believe that the Houston Texans and the Chicago Bears had conversations about the Texans trading up to number one. I think Nick Caserio at the end of the day said, too much, or hey, we like the prospect of two, or we like the plan that we have based on whoever's there at number two. We're not going to make that trade. So Chicago, okay, well, we're still going to make that trade with Carolina. We still want to trade down. We have no interest in taking quarterback. We're still trading down. So the Texans have already told you once that they have zero interest in trading up for number one. Everything since that trade has been made, Carolina has said what? Carolina's interested in CJ Stroud. They're interested in Bryce Young. They've yet to make a decision. They have no idea what they want to do. Ownership likes one player. Head coach likes one player. The odds have been flip-flopping back and forth on who goes number one. I think all of this has been a plan to trade down to number two to force the Houston Texans to trade up to number one. I think it's possible that Carolina, prior to today and prior to hearing D'Amico Ryans speak, that Carolina could have traded down after trading up to number one, but with only one team. The only team that they would be willing to do that with is with the Houston Texans. But D'Amico Ryans today, he's like, we're going to be prepared to pick where we are. That told me that the Houston Texans are, that was the exclamation point, that was the stamp, that the Houston Texans will not be trading up to number one using the number two overall pick.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance. I don't even know why. Honestly, I don't know why you would entertain it.
Because you love one quarterback and the other team's going to take that quarterback?
At this point, like, you know, they gave up so much. I it was like one of our first shows together, the three of us. I said, trade up, go get your guy. But now you've got a team that's already given up so much. They gave up their best player on their roster, most likely, to move up from 9-1 and a ton of other draft capital. It's going to at least cost you the 12th pick. Because first of all, you know, if you're the Texans, that the Panthers know whatever you were talking about with the Bears. There's a really good chance that Ryan Poles was sharing that information to increase the trade package for the Panthers.
Yeah.
So if the Panthers know that the Bears were close to getting the 12th pick, then they're going to ask for the same thing. And if you really don't believe, if you believe in only one quarterback, then put it in their hands and say, look, we only believe in Bryce Young. If I'm Nick Caserio, if you take him, we'll trade back or we'll just take Will Anderson and we'll figure it out the rest later and we'll move forward as a franchise and we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Or you wait for them to screw it up and take Anthony Richardson and you still get to choose your quarterback.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I think the Texans are in love with Bryce Young. That's my feel. Lance has talked about how he's heard from the Texans that they like Bryce Young. Lance doesn't miss on stuff like that. But I think Carolina's going to take Bryce Young. Could this be an elaborate play and chess move by Carolina to be, you know, sending all the smoke signals that we're taking Bryce to try to get the Texans to trade a lot on draft day to move up one spot potentially? But I get the feeling that Bryce Young's going to be the number one overall pick.
I mean, look, in the last 10 days, CJ Stroud was a -130 favorite to be the number one pick. Bryce Young was plus odds. Yesterday, it was a -110 tie. So they were co-favorites to be the number one pick. FanDuel Sportsbook, this morning, late last night, it moved dramatically. It moved Bryce Young to a minus 250 favorite. Yeah. So it doubled and like overnight. We're still weeks away. We're still 2.5 weeks away from the NFL draft, and now it's moved to that point. That number is only going to grow if we're heading this direction. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It feels like Bryce Young's going to be the number one pick. And the question then becomes, are you – I mean, look, Caesar Sportsbook has it at minus 300.
It's growing.
Just threw it on ESPN. Like, first of all, minus 300 for Bryce Young to be the number one pick. CJ Stroud at plus 180. This means to me, like, it's done. It's over. And the question is there any chance that the Texans trading up, or are you good with CJ Stroud or whoever else at two? Like, I think the conversation is now changing.
So the conversation is the Houston Texans are on the clock at number two?
I think so.
I do too.
I think that's where we're at. And when you and John Granato are on the air at Valencia's 7-11 on draft night, plug that. The question is going to be, are they taking CJ Stroud, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, Will Anderson, or trading back?
Let me say, if Carolina takes Young, the Texans should take Will Anderson. I'm of two schools of thought when it comes to this. I'm a BPA or a trade back guy if that player you love is not there at number two. So if Young is the number one pick, I'm not a huge CJ Stroud guy. I've been vocal about that since the college football season. I don't trust quarterbacks who had cushy positions in the college game, whether it was first round receiver, whether it was an unbelievable offensive line, whether it was a great offensive mind. When was the last great Ohio State quarterback? You might say Justin Fields. I would disagree with that. Don't think he's a great thrower of the football. So I don't really trust Stroud. A lot of the advanced numbers look at Stroud too, and they show like his quarterback rating, things like that, whenever he's facing pressure, and it's dreadful. It's awful. It's by far the worst of these four first round quarterbacks. Correct me if I'm wrong, but things are going to be more difficult for C.J. Stroud in the NFL than they are at Ohio State. C.J. Stroud's going to face a lot more blitz and a lot more pressure than he faced at Ohio State. At Ohio State, didn't face a ton of pressure, but whenever he did, he struggled. I don't trust C.J. Stroud really for that reason alone. So I'm not a C.J. Stroud at number two guy. That's really the only scenario in this draft where I'm going to be upset with the Houston Texans. Because I think I'm pretty easy to please when it comes to this draft. You give me Bryce Young at number two, fantastic. I'm in on that. If you do something crazy and draft Will Levis at number two, I'm in. I'm in on that.
Let's go all in.
If you take Will Anderson at two, I'm in on that. If you trade down from two, I'm in on that. Like, I'm easy to please when it comes to the Houston Texans first round. C.J. Stroud is the only exception.
See, I don't agree. I am pro C.J. Stroud. I do think that his skill set is going to translate. And when you go back and we talk about, you know, it was Bobby Slowick's press conference when he first had it, and he talked about a point guard. Like, that to me is C.J. Stroud. That, like, this offense, like, he is a point guard. Bryce Young can be it too. But, like, it's going to be going from point A to point B and, mm-hmm. and getting this offense down the field. I think CJ Stroud can do that. Like, and I get it. It's only one game. And I know I see people like, you know, they try to compare CJ Stroud versus Georgia to Jadeveon Clowney versus Michigan. I don't think it's the same thing. I think CJ Stroud versus Georgia can be who he really is. Like, I think he can develop into that quarterback. He is the prototypical size. And I know there's some stuff floating out there about, you know, this test that Will Levis passed with flying colors, the S2 test that maybe C.J. Stroud was a disaster. I do believe in C.J. Stroud. Like, I do think that it can translate. I don't have a, you know, I think he can distribute the ball in an NFL offense. He's got a good enough arm to where in the right system he can work effectively. And honestly, I think he would work great in a Kyle Shanahan offense.
I think he's going to be a middle-tier quarterback in the NFL. I think, like, I don't love the Jared Goff comparisons, but I think that's his basically ceiling. I think maybe Deshaun Watson. Like, I think he's on the cusp of being a top-10 quarterback, but probably somewhere between a top-10, top-15 quarterback for the course of his career. I think Bryce Young could be a top-5 quarterback. I think Will Levis can be a top-5 quarterback.
Three, I just don't believe that.
Yeah, because you don't know what you don't know.
You think I'm a hater. It's fine. Just say it.
You are a hater. You are a hater. You're overrating one Ohio State game against Georgia whenever CJ Stroud had elite talent around him. And you're underrating Will Levis's final season in Kentucky when he had far inferior talent around him.
Isn't it also fair to say that he had his least talented, the least amount of talent around him in that game?
You're talking about Stroud?
Yeah.
He still had first-round offensive linemen after first-round offensive linemen. Yeah, he still had Marvin Harrison Jr. Getting wide open.
But Marvin went down in that game, and he still played great.
But what's the one play that we look at for Stroud in that game? Like, oh, my goodness, look at Stroud. Whenever he eluded the four-man rush, bought some time for his first-round elite wide receiver to get open. That's the highlight play for Stroud in that game. Look what C.J. Stroud can do. He can escape a four-man rush, buy time for a first-round wide receiver. Wow.
That's not that different than most NFL teams.
Wow. I mean, unbelievable job. Unbelievable job. You got to win in the pocket.
That's not that much different than what most NFL quarterbacks do.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. I still got to get to the X Factor, who I think the X Factor that is currently on this roster could be, not only for this season, because I don't really put a whole lot of stock in the 2023 season, but just for the overall team build. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Razor sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
D'Amico Ryan's talking today. The odds on who goes number one are swinging in the favor of Bryce Young, everybody's most popular pick at number two for the Houston Texans. There's some doubts, there's some arguments, there's some worry about what the Houston Texans could be doing at number two. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Pena, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Pena? Pena, There you go.
Hey, what's up, guys? So, if I was in the position to make the choice, if it's not Bryce Young, I'd probably go with best player available. But if I get a really good offer and it has to be in the top five, I will trade. But that's about that. And I also want, did y'all see the prices to the YouTube NFL tickets? $349 for if you're a YouTube TV subscriber and $449 if you're not. That is outrageous, guys. Thank y'all. Have a great day.
Appreciate it, Payne. I think somebody did the math on it, and it's actually cheaper than it was on DirecTV.
Yeah, so also, like, because I saw someone tweet this, and there's a lot of caveats. Okay, so it's $349 for the season if you have YouTube TV. It's $249 if you purchase it before June 6th.
Okay.
Which is, like, that's pretty good. $249, it feels like, for 16 or 18 weeks.
So what is that? Football. Almost 5 months, 4.5 months.
Yeah.
How much did you say it was?
$249. If you get in before June 6th with YouTube TV. So the cheapest you can get, that's the cheapest you can get it.
That's like $55 a month, like on a pro rata.
That's pretty good. Like, I mean, like, my issue is that, like, okay.
How much was it on DirecTV?
I don't even remember. My thing is, like, I want to cut the cord. Like, I hate that I just can't get everything in one place. Like, if YouTube TV still had AT&T, so I could watch the Astros, mm-hmm. I would be on YouTube TV, and this would be an easy decision. But, like, you're going to charge me an extra $100 because I don't have YouTube TV is dumb.
DirecTV, apparently, the basic NFL Sunday ticket subscription on DirecTV was $294.
Interesting.
They also had a Sunday ticket max, which came with a Fantasy Zone network and Red Zone channel, mm-hmm. which was $396.
Yeah,
so it seems like this is pretty comparable.
Theirs is going to be with a subscription.
They're trying to get you to subscribe too. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's $389 if you don't do it early. If you get Red Zone with Sunday Ticket,
I don't get Sunday Ticket. I don't buy Sunday Ticket. I really don't have.
I'll be honest, Sunday Ticket. I watch the Bears every week, and I don't pay a dime for it. So if you need help, at Joe George Radio.
Yeah. You know, so we're gonna need Charles Carter to produce all of our shows because you're soon gonna be locked up and behind bars.
Oh, because I'm gonna go to jail for illegal streaming the Bears games.
You're the only person who illegal streams sports.
You're right.
I get Red Zone Channel, though. I do purchase Red Zone Channel, which Red Zone Channel, I hope that it's still an add-on other places, because up until a week ago, I was a Hulu guy. Up until a week ago, I used Hulu, but I could purchase the Red Zone, just the channel by itself, a la carte. I can't remember how much it cost. I think it was $9.99 a month. So it's like Just give me Red Zone Channel, $9.99 a month. So I hope it's still on like certain streaming services,
yeah,
and satellite providers and all that.
Because which one did they dump? They dumped Hanson?
Who? No, Scott they Hanson? Jumped. I don't think so. I think Hanson's back. They dropped the big ear guy.
I can't remember which
Siciliano
one
or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't think they're getting rid of Hanson.
No, Andrew Siciliano is just going to be just NFL Network stuff.
Though. Yeah, so yeah, they dropped him. I think people are overreacting to this because if you do a little bit of planning, the price is about the same. Now, the difference is that DirecTV would like always throw that in as like a bonus for you to stay as a subscriber. So a lot of people got DirecTV for free if they would call and complain and be like, I'm cutting you. I'm no longer going to use you. Well, how about you continue to use us and you'll get Sunday Ticket.
So a lot of times, I did that for like 3 years.
A lot of times they use that as like a free perk to stay a customer, which YouTube TV is not going to do that. But there's some panic there. There's some worry there.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I'm mostly disappointed because as someone that doesn't have an interest in buying Sunday Ticket, I would have paid, you know, $200 for just the Bears games. Uh-huh. Just as an example. You know, like, I thought they should have done, the NBA used to do that. I think they might still do it. You could buy NBA League Pass individually.
That makes sense.
Like, I had a buddy who lived in Chicago that was from here. Like, he left here to go back or to move there, and he would buy the Rockets individually because, like, that was, like, his main thing was the NBA. And he would just get the Rockets League pass. So I don't even know if they do that anymore. They used to for a while, though.
Yeah, they should do that in all sports. I think that's smart. 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Ben, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Ben?
Hey, guys. So there's six teams that's willing to trade with the Cardinals. How come there's no reports coming out where these teams would want to jump each other and just try to trade with the Texans? And that's my first question. Part two is, Joe George, go to Texas Reddit. Ask where you can get these streams, yeah, where you can find these games, including Red Zone.
That's where I get
all
mine.
You'll get a lot of help there, man.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben. Yeah, that's where I get all mine.
That's Reddit. How I watch my UFC fights.
Yeah, Reddit's like the honest, way to go.
If I'm being honest, that's how I watch all my UFC fights. Appreciate the call, Ben. I think there's two different things, like to Ben's first point, two different schools of thought here. One, I think the Houston Texans are playing everything close to the vest. Like, I think that they're sure. So, like, lock-lipped and so secretive
on
what they're doing. I think that's why you're not getting a lot of reports about, you know, the Texans being willing to trade down from number two. Two, I think the Texans are content with number two. I think if Bryce Young is there, Bryce Young is the pick. I think if Bryce Young goes number one, now there's some like thought about who it's going to be, whether it's C.J. Stroud, whether it's Will Anderson, whether it's Will Levis. Personally, I think the Texans draft Will Anderson. I think if Bryce Young is the number one pick in the NFL draft, I think the Texans are going Will Anderson.
Really?
Yeah. But to Ben's point, too, about, like, trading up, or like, the reports, I don't care about the reports. I couldn't care less about reports. I think most of the time, 90% of the time, reports are lies. So I don't care about the reports. But if the Texans are sitting on the clock and Bryce Young has been the number one overall pick, I'm cool with Will Anderson. I'm cool with a trade down. I would love a trade down with some of these rumors about the cost to get number three.
Yeah, I do think that, I mean, I would assume that, and he better be on the phone with these same teams, Nick Caserio, and calling and saying, okay, if our quarterback is gone, you know, he better be having these conversations and just not leaking it. Now, see, this reminds me, though, with the Cardinals of what the Bears went through, is that, like, it was all these reports started coming out. And it almost was like, hey, last call. Like, this is it. We're done. We're making this move. We're making this move before the draft. Get your final offers in. Get your real offers in. And that's how DJ Moore gets into the picture. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is what this sounds like with the Cardinals. Is they're telling the Tennessee Titans and the Vegas Raiders, hey, if you want this move, we're doing it now. We're doing this before the draft. It's go time. Get your final offers. And we got six teams calling us. Like, we're doing this. Because if I were them, they could do the same thing the Bears did and trade it right now. I think if the Texans trade back, it's draft day. It's once Bryce.
Why wouldn't it be for the Cardinals, though? Because, like, why are any teams trading up to number three without knowing what the board is? That's unless one of those three teams or whoever the teams are.
Some of them I don't think care.
Well, they would have to be in love with three prospects. Like,
yeah.
That's the only way they're doing that is if they're in love with three prospects and probably quarterback.
But if you're trading the number three, you know that most likely Young and Stroud are gone anyways, right? Like, if you're the Tennessee Titans, you already know.
It could be Young, like, and Anderson, but even if it is Young and Anderson, you're still getting QB.
Sure.
So, like, if you're trading up to number three, you better be in love with three quarterbacks.
Well, I think it's really you're in love with two quarterbacks, and it means you're in love with either Will Levis or Anthony Richardson, and you're anticipating that that's who's the best quarter, yeah. the best players on the board at three. Like if the Titans are the ones making that call,
but why do you do that now? Assuming, why don't you wait? Why don't you wait until you officially know? Like it doesn't make any sense to me to make that trade a week before the draft, 2 weeks before the draft.
I don't think the Cardinals, I don't think the Panthers had to do it then.
But the Panthers at least had the control of the draft.
But it was their it was the other team's timeline, and that's where I think you might have to do it now. Is if the Cardinals are getting someone,
but there's such a big difference between one and three.
I know, but like if the Raiders are saying they're willing to go up from 7 to 3 right now, then it's going to happen soon.
I don't think it makes sense for the Cardinals to do that, and I don't think it makes sense for a team trading up to 3 to do that. The reasons that you don't do it if you're trading up to number 3 is because you want the draft board. You want to know what the draft board is before you make that move. Secondly, like what if all of a sudden C.J. Stroud's there at number 3, and you have some of these teams that view C.J. Stroud as their number 1 overall prospect.
Yeah.
And now the price
does go up.
So to me, it doesn't make sense for Arizona making that trade. It doesn't make sense for any of the other teams to make that trade. But I'm all in favor of the Texans trading down. If Bryce Young is picked at number 1, I love the idea of a trade down. I love the idea of a Will Anderson. 713-780-3776. Here's my X factor for the Houston Texans that is already on this roster. DeMeco Ryans was talking about John Metchie today. I don't expect John Metchie to be like wide receiver number 1. I don't even have high expectations for John Metchie in his first year as a Houston Texan. But John Metchie's a second-round receiver. We've seen many times second-round receivers be really good for their respective football teams. I think John Metchie, and you know, from what DeMeco Ryans said today, like his the health bill is good for John Metchie, that he's kind of beating all this, that he's going to join the Texans on OTAs and all of that stuff. If John Metchie's good at football, it does wonders for this football team.
Big time. I mean, I don't know if he's like this great, great player. I loved the draft pick when it happened, and if he's healthy, it's not just beating cancer. There's an ACL in there too. Like there's a lot to overcome for John Metchie, the football player, and the person to get back on the field and be healthy. But if he can be a contributor to this offense, I loved him in college, honestly. Like, and the idea of pairing Bryce Young and Metchie has always been awesome to me.
Yeah. See,
I will say my draft strategy, the more I think about it, like it changes if it's Stroud at 2.
What does it look like?
I you got to get JSN.
If you draft Stroud at 2?
Yeah, stack him. It's like a fantasy stack, but you're doing college in the NFL. It's like Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. You don't think that helps them a lot? That relationship that they have developed over, a 2-year period at LSU and then being able to continue that in the NFL. If you go Stroud, I think you got to go get JSN.
I want nothing to do with JSN at 12. God, I want nothing to do with Stroud at number 2. If you do go Stroud at number 2, like that's the only way I'm somewhat accepting of JSN at number 12. Like I'm not going to sleep well at night. I'm going to have a bitter taste in my mouth. Happens. I don't hate JSN at 12 as much if Stroud is there at 2. So I like that theory. Like if you're telling me Stroud's already drafted at number 2. You've already told me that.
Yeah.
Stroud's the number 2 pick of the NFL draft for the Houston Texans. I've already threw my fit. I've already like made peace with the fact that Stroud's the franchise quarterback of the Texans, and now the Texans are on the clock at number 12. Okay, it makes sense to me. It makes sense that JSN would be the pick at 12. 713-780-ESPN. Every Tuesday at 2, it's Cash It or Trash It. We have two hot takes, two overreactions that we try to sell to each other. You can participate as well. What's your hot take? What's your overreaction that you want to sell to us? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Cash It or Trash It with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 or ESPN 92.5.